Today I'll be discussing detecting cosmic strings in the cosmic microwave background using an edge detection algorithm called the Kenny algorithm. My collaborator is Robert Brandenburger, and basically we are optimizing and advancing the implementation of the Kenny algorithm for cosmic strings. The Kenny algorithm was first applied to cosmic strings in Amsalberger and Brandenburger in 2007. So first, I'll begin by introducing cosmic strings by answering the following questions. What are cosmic strings? How are they formed? Why might cosmic strings be present? What are the current bounds on cosmic strings? Why are current bounds not optimal? Then I'll be discussing cosmic string signatures, how you can determine that there is a cosmic string in the cosmic microwave background. I'll first introduce it by discussing how cosmic string deforms space-time around the cosmic string, how it distorts it. Then I'll discuss the Kaiser-Stebbins effect, which leaves cosmic string signatures. And finally, I'll answer the question of why the Kenny algorithm is ideal to detect cosmic strings. Finally, I'll discuss the numerical studies based on my edge-finding code. I'll give an overview of the simulations and code that we used. I shall discuss the simulators that we used, detail the Kenny algorithm, and give test results. And finally, I'll give conclusions. OK, so what are cosmic strings? There are one-dimensional topological defects. They're very massive. How massive are they? 10 kilometers of cosmic string length would weigh as much as the Earth. They're very thin. How thin are they? Well, if you look at a hydrogen atom and you consider less than a trillionth the size of a hydrogen atom, you have the thickness of a cosmic string. They're very long and infinite, or they can be in loops. So on the left is an initial cosmic string simulation. And as it evolves, it turns in, the network evolves into the second picture. So you can see that the strings break off and form loops and decay. So how are cosmic strings formed? When the Higgs scalar field, the expectation value of the Higgs scalar field tells you whether or not symmetry is broken. When the expectation value of the Higgs scalar field is not equal to zero, symmetry is broken. When you have a symmetric state, a scalar field in a symmetric state rolling into a non-symmetric state, you have a phase transition. This leads to topological defects via the Kippel mechanism. When would this occur? The grand unification transition would occur between the Planck epochs, when string theory would have reigned, and the electric weak phase transition. This occurs between 10 to the minus 43 seconds and 10 to the minus 35 seconds, or at a temperature of 10 to the 15th GeV. Now I'll explain the Kippel mechanism, which is how cosmic strings are produced. If you look at a loop, a super Hubble loop in real space, and you trace that out, it traces out a loop in field space. As you go to the center of a loop, you go up a bump. Going up the bump in real space is how you have the cosmic string. So it's an unconnected space. Because of causality, strings exist at all times on super Hubble scales, given symmetry breaking. And for any particle physicists in the audience, the homotopy group is non-trivial. This means that a one sphere or a circle mapped to the vacuum manifold, which is a circle. The vacuum manifold is given by the circle at the bottom of the potential. That is non-trivial. And the second, this just describes the vectors of the field space, of the field. So now I'll discuss the scaling solution for this string network. There's an order of one infinite string segment per Hubble volume. The reason why you have this scaling solution is that if you had more strings per Hubble volume, they would annihilate because they have a topological charge and fields winding around the strings in opposite directions can annihilate each other. So you always end up with an order of one infinite string segment per Hubble volume. And you can also form loops from interactions and collisions. On the left, you have a string that's self-intersecting. So it intersects and forms a loop and a cusp. On the right, you have a string collision. You have two strings that come together, and they form a loop. Why might cosmic strings be present? Well, there are many models that predict cosmic strings. I'll talk about the more recent ones, brain inflation models and supergravity inflation models that use supersymmetry in their inflationary model and predict cosmic strings. And here are some references. Polchinski and Copeland, Myers, and Polchinski wrote papers discussing the viability of cosmic fundamental strings and D-brain strings, which are strings on brains that are one-dimensional. They're brains that are one-dimensional, so they're like a string. Then you can also have cosmic strings arising from brain inflation. Jim Klein wrote a paper. Strong and Tai wrote papers on this as well. And finally, supergravity inflation models are discussed in Journaux. What are the current bounds on cosmic strings? Amy Lowe and Ned Wright used a match filtering method in WMAP to get a constraint of G mu of less than 10 to the minus 5. A match filtering method is where you take a pixel and the surrounding pixels, and you apply a filter with an edge signature to each pixel and the surrounding pixels. There are new statistics done by Smoot and Zhang that gave a G mu of less than 10 to the minus 6. These statistics include looking at the connectedness of temperature steps and also decomposing a temperature map into the Gaussian and cosmic string map. Acoustic peak structure observations give a GMU of less than 10 to the minus 7. And you can get a GMU of less than 10 to the minus 8, or between 10 to the minus 8 and between 10 to the minus 5.5 by Pulsar timing measurements, and a GMU of less than 10 to the minus 5.5 using Pulsar timing measurements. And this depends on arguable assumptions of properties of cosmic string loop distributions, which is not robust. You might want to know how a pulsar could detect a cosmic string. Well, pulsars emit regular signals. And when you have a cosmic string in between the observer and the pulsar, it distorts the gravitational field and distorts the signal. So why are the current bounds not optimal? Why do we want to use the Kani algorithm to try to get better bounds on cosmic strings? The current bounds are not based on string-specific signatures. Although they look for large gradients and edges, they do not look for the length of edges. They don't look for extended edges, which is what you would have in a cosmic string. And it's based on quantities such as the CMB power spectrum, in which string-specific features are smeared out. So now I'll discuss cosmic string signatures and cosmic string gravity. At every point along a cosmic string, it deforms space-time into a cone. So if you had a piece of flat space and you cut a wedge of angle alpha out of it, and you identified the edges of the wedge together, and you folded it up together, you would get a cone. So this is like, if you look at the slide, it's like the piece of paper with the wedge cut out of it, and if you connect it together, you get the cone. The defect angle, alpha, tells you how pointy the cone is. If you look at photons passing on either side of the cone, they get deflected. This is the gravitational lensing from the cosmic string. Now I'll discuss the Kaiser-Stebbins effect, which gives the discontinuity. It's resulting from the gravitational lensing and a Doppler effect. It only occurs for a moving string, so a string with a velocity can have the Kaiser-Stebbins effect. Once again, you have the cone, where you identify capital R and lowercase r. And the defect angle, or the deficit angle, is given by alpha is equal to 2 pi capital R minus 2 pi lowercase r over r. And that's equal to 8 pi g mu. And this is just done from relativity. The Doppler shift can be calculated, and that's delta t over t is equal to 8 pi, the relativistic gamma factor, times the velocity times g mu. So on either side of the string, you get a discontinuity. On either side of the string, on one side of the string, you get temperatures that are plus 4 pi gamma v g mu, and on the other side, you have minus 4 pi gamma v g mu. And you get a scale invariant spectrum of cosmological perturbations produced by cosmic strings. The acoustic peaks are different for inflationary models than for cosmic strings. So what is the Kani algorithm? is a method developed in 1986 to map edges in an image map. And it finds the maximum gradient perpendicular to an edge. So it finds edges by looking at maximum gradients directed in along a direction. Why is the Kenny algorithm ideal to detect cosmic strings? The Kenny algorithm finds line discontinuities and produces a map of the edges. So because of the Kaiser-Stebbins effect, strings produce discontinuities. So you produce a string discontinuity, and then you try to detect it using the Kenny algorithm. So now I'll head on to numerical studies. In numerical studies, I wrote code to implement the Kenny algorithm and to optimize the previous uses of the Kenny algorithm. As an overview, we first simulated Gaussian temperature map using CAM. CAM is an improvement over CMBFast because you can get L values of up to 22,000, whereas CMBFast you can only get L values of up to 3,000. This gives us a higher resolution. If we get a resolution of less than 1.5 arc minutes, whereas with CMBFast you get a resolution of about 11 arc minutes. You simulate cosmic strings as straight line segments. This is an approximation, although cosmic strings do wiggle and have complicated motions. We're going to simulate them as straight lines. And we do an edge search. We find the segments of maximum gradients in the direction of the gradient in the simulated maps. And we compare the edge lengths in the simulated maps. So if we get more long edges in a cosmic string map, you would expect to get more long edges in a cosmic string map than in a Gaussian temperature map. So now I'll discuss the simulators. First is the Gaussian map simulator. Usually, you would have a spherical harmonic expansion to calculate delta t over t. But because we are looking at fields of view that are less than 60 degrees, we can use a flat sky approximation. The flat sky approximation lets us use a plane wave expansion for delta t over t. You can identify that t of k is related to the ALMs in this way. And you get t of k is equal to a Gaussian, where the width of the Gaussian is given by the root of the CL value, and g of k is a Gaussian number, a random number between 0 and 1, with a variance of 1 and a mean of 0. This is an example of the simulated sky that we got using our Gaussian simulator. Next, I want to discuss the cosmic string simulator. For simplicity, we consider straight line segments. The straight line segments represent the curvature radius of the cosmic string. The curvature radius will be about approximately one Hubble length. The reason for this is that if you had more than, if it were larger than one Hubble length, it would wait until a Hubble length catches up to it. And if it's less than that, it will wiggle and oscillate rapidly until it decays to be one Hubble length. We consider the past light cone of the CMB, and we consider time intervals between the time of recombination, or approximately the time of last scattering, to t0. We project all the strings in one Hubble time to the center of one time step's Hubble time, and we simulate strings of the Kaiser-Stebbins effect on the surface of each time interval. So basically, we're making the assumption that it affects one Hubble length in each direction perpendicular to the string. So I'll give an example. We superimpose the simulated surfaces. So here, these are a few examples of a few cosmic strings. We look at different time intervals where the Hubble length is different, so you have different sizes. The sizes are also different because we're projecting a three-dimensional surface onto a two-dimensional surface, so that we give a random number for that projection. And this would be the string. And this is the effect on one side of it, and the other effect on the other side of it. And this is one Hubble length, and this is one Hubble length. And then you see you have strings superimposed on each other for the as you add up the different time steps. N equals 1 means that there's the scaling solution of 1. We're using one string per Hubble volume. And this is the map of the string simulation that we get. It's a 10 degree by 10 degree field of view with 1.5 arc minute resolution. A full simulation for n equals 10, meaning that there are 10 strings per Hubble volume, gives this image. So now I'll discuss the Kenny algorithm. First, you smooth the map to eliminate point source noise. Then you find the smooth map's gradient. Once you find the gradient, you find the local maxima in the gradient in the direction of the gradient. You sort through the local maxima, and you assign grid points with various values. Some are 0. If they're greater than an upper threshold, they're assigned 1. If they're between a lower and upper threshold, they're assigned 1/2. So you pick through all the local maxima of the gradients in the direction of the gradients, and you label them as either 0, 1, or 1/2. You turn grid points marked as 1/2 into 1 if criteria are met. So because of noise, some of the grid points that should be marked as 1 are actually marked as 1/2. And so to catch these points, we turn some of the points marked as 1/2 into 1. So here's an example of a dummy data. This is the cosmic string. And this is, it has 80% noise added to it. And this is the hot and the cold area. On this image, you have the points that are marked as 1. And it's hard to see, but there are a few additional points in this one. This has some points turned as 1/2 and marked into 1. Over here, there's some points that are turned into 1s. And then we have an edge finding program, which generates this as an edge. So you can see that it's much more connected for the edge. For detecting the edge, we allow it to skip 2 points as well. So for turning 1/2s into 1s, they're connected points. You turn 1/2 when it's next to a point as 1 that if they meet the criteria into a 1. And for the edge, you can skip 2 points. For the Gaussian map, the points marked as 1 are on the left, and the edge map is on the right. For a string simulated map of n equals 1, you have points marked as 1 on the left and the edges marked on the right. So you can see that the program robustly finds the edges in the string map. And finally, we do the analysis. We're looking for more longer edges in a string map than in a Gaussian map. And this is clearly true. And if you look at, it's hard to see, but if you look at an edge of length 3, in the Gaussian map, there's less than 150. And in the string map, there's more than 500. There are actually string edges of length 300 in the string simulated map, but that's off the scale of the map. And there are other more longer edges in the string map than in the Gaussian map. So the Kenyon algorithm seems to be working. So now I have my conclusions. Cosmic strings produce discontinuities in edges in the CMB, and the Kenyon algorithm finds longer edges for cosmic strings than the purely inflationary perturbation temperature map. Thank you. No, we're going to apply it on boomerang data in the near future, though, sometime this summer. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
So you can try doing other intercepts in the standard one. For example, 0 plus plus is guaranteed if you close your string and
so other edge detection methods?
Yeah.
Right. This is just the one that we tried. There are other edge detection methods that might be better, and we might explore those as well. Can I estimate what GMU would be? Well, in the map that we use GMU of 5 times 10 to the minus 7, and we're going to try it with other values of GMU. That's a free parameter in the program, in the string simulation program. So we're going to try it with different values to see if it also works for those. But for the example that I gave, it's 5 times 10 to the minus 7. I can't say much more about it, but the acoustic peak will have a different structure for cosmic strings and for inflation. Like, it's more random and spread out for cosmic strings, and it's more coherent and peaked for inflationary models. So you can get bounds that way, I think. But I can't say too much more about it.
Okay, so let's find the speaker again.